हरि ओ हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
hey, bottom 65 okay Vrajanath while studying Rasa Vichar within the Alankara Shastra I came across the seven Gauna Rasas. Rasa Vichara means, excuse me, the Alankara Shastra. It means that which is dealing with the, how you say, ornamentation of writing. In other words, it's the Vedic literatures on how to, you know, the poetic aspects, how to make the writing interesting, right, and poetic. So in there, then, he's saying here is that it describes the rasa vichar. Right? Vichar is looking at it from all the different angles. So that in this case is that because the interesting thing in poetics is rasa, right? Because just to write poetics on anything, it's not necessarily that important, right? You know, your modern songwriters and stuff like that, your poets, they write on the most ordinary things, right? You know. And so here the idea is that it should be on rasa, right? Because even though it's a simple thing, but rasa has some content, right? And just what you alone are feeling and stuff like that, not connected to somebody else, where you're the center, it's about yourself, that's not very important. So that's not considered, that's not covered by Alankara Shastra. Goswami, I will enumerate the different combinations of compatible and incompatible rasas. Shantarasa is amicable to dasya, vibhatsa, dharma virya, dedication to religious performances, and adbhuta rasa. Okay. On the other hand, adbhuta rasa is friendly to dasya, sakya, vatsalya, and madhurya, because right? Adbhuta is wonder, so that everybody has that, because it's just an expansion of that appreciation. Right? When that appreciation is more extreme, then there's that wonder, right? Like that. The enemies of Shantaras are Madhurya, Yudhavira, Raudra, and Bhayanaka. Right? Somebody doesn't give the translations here. Okay. Vibhatsa, what was Vibhatsa?
Horror.
Horror. Oh, okay. And, okay. Okay, Dhanavirya is, how you say, charity. Dharmavirya is religious principles. Its opponents, Dasyaras, is Madhurya, Yudhavirya, is fighting, and Raudra-rasa, anger. Right, because these can't be shown. So in those environments, it can't function. Okay. Shakya rasa is friendly to the Madhurya, Hasya, and Yudhavira rasa. Right? So conjugal, laughing, and the, I say, chivalry. It is unfriendly to Vatsalya, Vibhatsa, Raudra, and Bhayanaka. Right? So parental rasa you can't manifest fully. But it, you know, kind of works. Because here he's just talking of compatible and incompatible. Oh. But you do have the element in incompatible that it's neutral. Does that make sense? You know, so it's okay. Like the cowherd boys can hang around with Krishna. So they can't interact. They just can't be as friendly, you know, like that. They have to be a little more formal. Okay. Okay. I'm fine. By the Vibhatsa. Vibhatsa was which one? Where does it say this? Oh, there it is. Is it? Horror. Oh, same one again. Okay. So horror, anger, and Bhayanaka's fear. Right? Vatsalya rasa concurs with hasya, karuna, and Bhayanaka rasa. Right? Because parents are always fearful for these children. It's the problem without the thing. It's just the same words. But okay. But disagrees with Madhurya, Yudhavirya, chivalry. Right? So the boys fight too much. It's not. It gets out of hand. Dasya and Raudra. Because Dasya has that element of that reverence, while the parental doesn't. Right? And anger. Right, it doesn't function well. Like if the parent gets angry, then the Vatsalya rasa actually stops. Right, so it's not that. Well, oh, I'm the parent; I can do what I want. That means no. When you're doing what you want, you're not the parent anymore. Yeah. You're not manifesting rasa because parent means that rasa. You're not manifesting rasa. How is that parent? You know.
So being.
You know what I'm saying? Just like husband and wife, it's a legal thing. Right, mm-hmm. So you can say like that, we're husband and wife, but if they don't get along and that if they do whatever they want and don't get along, it's not exactly you call it conjugal rasa. Does that make sense? Yeah.
So chastising the child and discipline.
No, chastising, but that's not anger. That's one thing I particularly noticed. Mm-hmm. Is that I noticed in India is that when you know, the kid's doing something stupid. You know, you have a little three-year-old, he's doing something stupid. All the adults are sitting around, and one of the adults looks at him with big eyes. You know, like, whoa, you know, he gets scared like that. And as soon as he gets scared and goes away, all the adults laugh. So it's just a show of anger. You know, you show the big eyes, and, what are you doing? You know, don't do that. You know, that kind of thing. It's just a show, because it's all rasa. But much of the time it's seen outside of that, that those who are trained in that, it works. But those who are not, they actually get angry. So it's not parental rasa. Don't kid yourself. Like that. But a good portion of the world does kid themselves. Like that. Because they know kids are stupid. They do stupid stuff. That's what it means. Little kids are untrained. They're going to do stupid stuff. So if they do something stupid, why would you get angry? No, that's how you that's where you train them. Right? Parent means train. Parent means guru, right? We want the respect of guru, but we don't want to be guru. Right? Does that make sense? So anger doesn't have a position. You may feign anger, like Mother Jashoda. It's out of her affection that her child is not going to be grow up badly. He can't be undisciplined. So therefore, it's feigned anger, where she's chasing with the stick and all. She just wants to correct him, right? But the kid, because they're not so dumb, they don't know that. Right? Because when they know that, then you use a different kind of mode. Right? So therefore he's very fearful. Mm-hmm. Like that. Okay. Madhurya rasa is compatible with hasya and sakya rasa, and incompatible with vatsalya, vibhatsa, santa, raudra, and bhayanaka. Hasya rasa harmonizes with vibhatsa. Harmonizes with vibhatsa, which is?
Horror.
Madhurya, because sometimes when things are so crazy, people laugh. You know, they go back and forth, but they you know, it's not. Madhurya and vatsalya, but is incongruent with karuna and bhayanaka. Right? Adbhuta rasa, right? How you say? Because it means when you're fearful, you're not laughing. But, you know, what is it, you know, what's your how you say, you know, stereotypical, like, you know, mad demon, right? He's doing horrible things, but he's laughing crazily, right, you know? You know, so it works, you know? Otherwise, if he does it, then how do you know he's such a demon, right? You know, like, that's the... Okay. Karuna, also, if you're giving mercy, you don't laugh. You know, does that make sense? They don't go together. Adbhuta rasa complements vira. Okay, wonder. Vira, santa, right? Because vira is then, you know, when you're showing that strength and all that, then it complements. Santa, dasya, sakya, vatsalya, and madhurya, but resists. Hasya, sakya, dasya. What is it? It just said dasya here. Dasya, raudra, and vibhatsa. So there must be some other aspect. Oh, most likely it means that there's the different kinds of dasya.
And sakya also.
Yeah, because there's, I mean, in other words, the there's some aspects of it that doesn't. You know? In other words, remember, there's four kinds of the cowherd boys, four and different kinds of the... Yeah, okay. Vira ras is friendly to Adbhuta, Hasya, Sakya, and Dasya ras, but inimical to Bhayanaka, fear. Some of the opponents, some are of the opinion that Shantaras is also inimical to Vira ras, because then that peacefulness is lost. But one might be able to appreciate it. One can't interact on that level, but one may be able to appreciate, you know, like watching the battle and appreciating, you know, the great, you know, the mood and strength of the warriors and stuff like that. Karuna Ras coordinates well with Raudra and Vatsalya, but not with Vira, Hasya, Samboga Madhurya, and Adbhuta Rasa. Right. So the karuna is the element of what is the of separation, right? Mm-hmm. Because when it's together, then it's different moods are there.
White coordinates well with Rudra.
Hmm?
White goes good with Rudra, with anger.
So we're talking about
karuna, ras.
You're showing the kindness there, right? Like Mother Jashoda is showing anger, right? But it's out of her, you know, trying to train and correct Krishna. Does that make sense? Because there's the element of where you're showing it or you actually are. You understand? So one also has to be able to differentiate between that. Like Krishna comes close to the gopis and they say, go away. So they want him to go away? No, but it goes together. You understand? So there's subtleties there. We'll see as it goes then how these are applied. Okay. Okay. Raudra Ras is in harmony with Karuna and Vira Ras, but not with Hasya, Madhurya, and Bhayanaka. Because if Madhurya turns actually angry, then it breaks up. Mm-hmm. If you're only feigning anger, then that's another. That's why it's Prabhupada is using the term feigned anger. Mm-hmm. It only appears that way. But the point is even if it's feigned anger, you still have to deal with the principle of anger, because that's the rasa. Mm-hmm. Right? It's not that it's feigned anger, so hey, I know this is just feigned anger, so hey, let's get real here. No, the whole point is about rasa, because getting real, what's the rasa? Oh, we just want to be, you know, straight up front, say whatever we want. What's the rasa? Right? Truth is not a rasa. You understand? So modern culture is trying to base relationship on truth. Right? It means facts. Is that a rasa?
Dry.
Huh?
Bit dry,
yeah, it doesn't work. You know, I mean, they try to make it seem like it works. But the thing is, oh, you didn't tell me the truth means I feel insecure because, you know, I didn't feel you included me in your feelings. That's the actual rasa. But they make it seem like it's truth. Yeah, truth is the thing, and truth. But truth is only what the public says, right? That's the whole point of the sophists, right? Is what the public says is truth, that's real. And what they don't say is truth is not. So that's all. In other words, what a group of us feel is real, that's real. You know? So if you don't like that reality, join another group. You know, start your own. Like that. But at least you can get two people to, you know, at least yourself and one other to agree, right? You go stand in front of a mirror, and it works. Or if you're really desperate, you go down to one of the change rooms, you know, like that, because they have the mirrors that balance like that, and so it goes off into the distance, you have a whole crowd, right? You
know? Everybody knows.
Yeah, everybody knows. Yes. Okay. Bhayanaka, right? That's fear. Mixes well with vibhatsa and karuna, but opposes vira, right? Because you can't be, you know, chivalrous and be fearful, right? They don't go together, right? Madhurya means you can't be fearful, because when you're fearful of the relationship. So it doesn't work there. So therefore, insecurity is causing fear. So that means that's why conjugal rasa breaks down. Right? Okay. Hasya. Okay. Yeah, fear and laughing doesn't go together, right? Horror and laughing goes together, right? Like that, right? Hitchcock was always chuckling, right? You know, so that goes together, right? And Raudra. Okay, well, what was that? Opposes karuna. Oh, no, what is it? Oh, fear. Yeah, fear and anger don't necessarily go together. Vibhatsa ras is incongruent with santa, which is vibhatsa. Again, horror. Okay. Santa, hasya, and dasya. Oh, it's congruent with santa, dasya, hasya, and dasya, but incongruent with shringar and sakya. All the other rasas are tatasta, neutral to one another. Okay. So here he's bringing out the neutral. So it's one side or the other. Yes.
Seems like in material world, the basis of all the relations is fear. It's all based on fear.
Yeah. Because we're fearful of our relationship with the Lord. And so then, we want to establish ourselves as God. Because if God's God, then we can't be God. So that kind of blows the whole material thing. So, therefore, that's the element. And then the other aspect is, because control means is fear is in the same position as control. You know, fear, envy, control, they're all in sambandha. Mm-hmm. Right? Does that make sense? Because you're fearful of the relationship, you know, of losing it or whether you gain it or something like that, something happening to the relationship. Then, you know, security is in that same position, whether it's strong or not, right? If it's no fear, it's strong. If there is fear, it's not strong. What was that? Fear? And control. So, therefore, you want to control the situation so you can maintain the security. And so, therefore, you won't be fearful.
But still, it's based on fear.
Yes. Yes, the whole point is that's what we're saying. When it comes to the material world, based on the fear of one's relationship with God, right? We're afraid of being the servitor. So that's why that point is made so strongly. We're servant of Krishna. Krishna's God, he's the controller. Right? So when it says in the Shastra, become free from fear, it doesn't mean that now I can go bungee jumping. You know, it means free from fear means free of that fear of that relationship with God. You're surrendered to it. I'm servant. Does that make sense? So that means someone who's free from fear is off the bodily platform. Right? The Kshatriyas have no fear, not because they're stupid, because they know they're not the body. Right? And if they fight according to Dharma, then if they win, they'll enjoy the results here. And if they die, they'll go to the heavenly planets. So for them, it's either way they win. So they're not fearful. I mean, ultimately, of course, you know, with that, but like you said, fear is the basis. You know, that's always the question, whether it's better to be feared or loved, you know. And so, you know what I'm saying? So in the material world sense, love is not really such an option, then fear works really good. You know? But yeah, it's security, because we are insecure because we think we're the body, and the body's temporary. All the relationships are temporary. So there's always going to be fear. But if we base it on Krishna consciousness, then the relationship with Krishna is eternal. Relationship with the devotees is eternal. Maybe this very specific rasa that you have now is not. You know, does that make sense? You know, like two persons, you know, won't necessarily have the same relationship in the spiritual world. Friendship, yes. You know, but what's the exact? You know what I'm saying? That you can't say. But. So that's eternal. The relationship with the devotees is eternal. The relationship with Krishna is eternal. So therefore, then, it's not based on fear. So then one just performs one's duties properly and everything goes nicely. You know, it's just like, you know, the play is running. You know, are people fearful that the end is coming? No, you just want to play what's running. It's a good time. When it's over, then there's another drama. You know? Does that make sense? So, this life is going, this drama is happening. When this is over, then there'll be another one. Right? But you want to make sure it's not another one here. Does that make sense? That work? Yeah. So that's why security is the first, because that's where a relationship is. Because people are self-centered, that means you don't have a relationship, really. Right? It's based on the senses. Right? Why do you like them? Oh, they make me happy. Right? So it's about them making you happy. If they don't make you happy anymore, then the relationship is not there. It's not about me making them happy. You know? Does that make sense? So it's just a whole different dynamic. That's why the basis, Krishna's always pointing out, is the duties. In the spiritual world, they have the rasa, and there's the natural manifestation of the form and activities and situations for it. Right? So there's no problem. So Mother Jashoda is the perfection of parental rasa. So whatever she does is always perfect in line, the perfection of parental rasa. So if anybody else in that rasa simply follows her lead, it will always be perfect, right? So when you say follow in the footsteps, this is the fun part, right? Oh, we're not into all the rules and regulations. We're free, right? But what does Raga Nuga mean? Following the footsteps. So means, in other words, I'm not following rules. I'm following a person. So the rule is a body of rules, what you should do, right? And the person is, you know, examples and mood that you should do. Does that make sense? So the person who doesn't, oh, we don't care for the rules, also doesn't care for following anybody. You know what I'm saying? At least not around here, maybe from the spiritual world. But the problem is that since we're here, you do kind of have to cooperate. Does that make sense? So it's a weak position, means they don't fully understand what's going on. You're just transferring from, in other words, you're supposed to be following a person, but if you don't, at least here's the rules on what you should be doing. Right? Mother Jashoda takes care of him. She wakes him up in the morning, sees he has his bath, you know, he's dressed properly, you know, appropriate for the situation, he gets fed, you know, she takes care of all those things. So therefore, the other elder gopis, that's the kind of things they do. Right? But if you don't have that personal relationship, then there's a rule book. Okay, parents, they take care of the kids. They get up, they go to bed on time, they dress properly, they eat properly. You know, see to their emotional and physical and everything well-being. Right? So it's rules. Oh, I don't care for the rules. But the point is the rules come from the person. But that's why it says the rules are secondary, because it's the person that's important. But the rules are what the person does. So if the person's important, we do what the person does. Right? Not that the rules are important, and then this guy happens to be following the rules. We like that. Means, in other words, the parents of Vrindavan aren't hanging out with Mother Jashoda because she follows the rules the best. They like the rules, and so she does it really good, so they hang out with her. No, they like her, so therefore they follow what she does. It's the other way around. So you have to know what's primary and what's secondary. Is that what you're saying?
So on the same principle, we follow Guru according to the rules.
Yes. Yes. We follow Guru according to the rules, but what you're trying to catch is the mood of the Guru.
Mood.
Yeah, because like our line of Guru is Vrindavan. Right? But as we saw before, we were dealing with Madhva and that. It's Vaikuntha. When you read what they say, it just has that Vaikuntha vibe to it. You know what I'm saying? So that's the point, is that in the material world, for the non-devotee, the materialist, a little awe and reverence is not bad. You know? Like that. And even for us, you know, much of our relationships are servitorship. Does that make sense? You know, because we always have, you know, seniors. So even if it becomes, it says, okay, the relationship with the guru may be more a friendship, but we're always a junior friend. You know, like that. So those kind of things are there, yes.
If I take this analogy of guru, of world, so the mood, overall mood is always Vrindavan in our mind.
Yes, but it's always Vrindavan.
The particular person can have his own kind of mood. I'm not speaking about Rasa, like who he is in the spiritual world, but some people tend to be more conservative.
Means within means you have so many aspects of Krishna consciousness, so which they focus on, that's all, because it's, does that make sense? But it's overall Vrindavan, but within that, the scope of so many aspects.
So you should follow him to that particular thing also?
Means that's why it says Swajati, is that you associate with those that are like-minded. In other words, you have a conditioning, so you're going to function through that conditioning. So you associate with those closely who the conditioning you can relate to. Right? You're nice to all devotees, but those who have a similar kind of conditioning or ability to deal with that kind of conditioning, that you associate with them. Right? So that's the meaning of Sujati. So all this idea, oh, we're not the body. Yes, we're not the body, but the point is the body is the body. Oh, we're not the body, so, you know, I'll pick up things with my teeth or something. Or, you know, it's just like, you know, what does it mean we're not the body? All it is a trick to do whatever you want. So it's a mode of ignorance. Yes, I mean, who said we're the body? But the point is the body has functions that it does. Right? The head does certain things, the arms do certain things, the legs, the feet. Like that. So even though Krishna can do anything with anything, generally we see he walks with his feet. He looks with his eyes, you know. It's not, you know, the elbows watching. You know, it's not doing that. That's just weird, right? But the point is everything's interchangeable. But the point is using the eyes as eyes, that's nice. You know? Just like the kalpa vriksha trees. In Vrindavan, you can get anything you want. When we say anything, we don't just mean at any time you want, you can get the fruit from that tree. You can get any fruit, you can get anything, you know? Does that make sense? You want a Cadillac, it'll give you a Cadillac, right? But the Brajbasis don't ask for Cadillacs. That's why there aren't any there. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? When it says anything, anything, right? Surabhi, she's a accommodator. So the same concept as a cow, right? And then when Vishwamitra was, you know, coming to take her away, and that, then from her whole body, from her flanks, came all these armies. Right? So all these Malecha armies and Yavana armies and all these different kinds of wild tribes, they all manifest from Sarabi. That's why how they're there, right? So then, in that way, then everybody can go back, you know, Sarabi's. So that's also when you say, you know, mother cow, then for the, you know, all the Malechas, Yavas, and this, you know, all the non-Vedic tribes, they have to actually, it means mother cow. Their ancestors came from Sarabi, right? Sarabi, no, it's Nandini, Sarabi's daughter, I think. Does that make sense? Because otherwise, they've always been there, so, you know, it goes way back.
In Christian philosophy, they do a lot from the fear of God. Is it even stated that we should fear God?
Should we fear God? No, but a relationship's not based on fear. It's a secondary rasa. Right? The point is the element is that of appreciation and servitorship. Right? The fear is that you don't want to displease them. So you're fearful that you would displease them. Does that make sense? You know, so this thing, though, that, you know, it's fearful and all that, that's, it's, you know, what kind of rasa is that? You know, I mean, the point is they make God out to be like what they would be like if they were the boss. That's all. You know, like that. But the point is God's not threatened. You know, even if, you know, all the angels are in the next room talking pajalpa when he walks through the door, it's not that, you know. You know, it's just like, you know, you're not supposed to do that. Does that make sense? It doesn't reduce his position, but they make it as if his position is, you know what I'm saying? It's just like this. Someone's worshiping the demigods. What's the problem? What are you worshiping the demigod? The demigod is another jiva like yourself. So is that jiva special? Right? Than any other jiva? It's the same jiva. So what's special is there happened to be in that post. That post is representing the Lord. So they're working on behalf of God. So here you're having a relationship with God indirectly without knowing it's with God. So how will that be appreciated? You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like, let's say you go to someone's house, right? And then the butler answers the door. And so then you start dealing with them as you would with the person, the man of the house. Is the man of the house going to think that's cool? It's just a waste of time. Because the point is the butler has to, excuse me, and then go ask the boss anyway. He's not free to function on his own. So therefore, that's why it's a problem. Right? So jealous means in relationship, not in power. But we always take it as power, because that's where we're jealous. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
It's interesting that Lord Brahma, the first emotion he felt in material world, it was fear, actually. He was fearful of darkness and like this.
Yeah, this is no knowledge. So you don't know who you are, what's your relationship. So again, it comes back to sambandha.
So the knowledge can help
us. Yeah, knowledge. That's fear. Why then sambandha jnana, that's also the position of sambandha jnana, relationship. So when that's there, then relationship is, one understands, then one's secure, so fear goes away. Is that so? Yeah. Okay. Vrajanath, Guruji, what are the results when the different rasas mingle? Goswami, when compatible rasas mingle, the result is greatly relishable. The best result is gained when the anga, limbs, link up with angi, body. The criterion is not whether the rasas are mukya, principal, or gona, subordinate, but that the angi rasas, central body, mellows, combined with compatible rasas that may harmonize, harmoniously become their anga, associate compatible limbs. Yes. So he's making the point, it's not which one is prominent. It's not whether it's a mukya rasa or a gona rasa. It's whichever is the central rasa that all the other rasas are compatible with it. Right? Because you see, sometimes he would describe it from a central rasa and sometimes from a secondary rasa. A primary rasa and a secondary rasa. But whichever rasa was being described, that's the central rasa. Does that make sense? Because otherwise they'll say, no, it always has to be the mukya rasa. No, it could be any of the 12. That's why I said before, the secondary can become the prominent and become permanent, which is not normal, but it can. Right? So central means whichever is the one at present.
And we're just describing the, how they're compatible and not compatible. The primary and secondary are just...
Yeah, it's mixed not, together. Yeah. It's not there. It's just like, let's say something comes up. The parents are walking with the kids. Something strange comes up. They become fearful. Mm. So what's the central rasa is fear. Then, now, the parental rasa kicks in. Right? Does that make sense? So then that kind of element is there. Right? That makes sense, yeah. Okay, Vrajanath, kindly define the difference between rasas that are designated as either angi or anga. Goswami, again, the consideration whether the rasa to be designated as either angi or anga is a mukhya or gona rasa is not the conclusive element. The rasa that prevails for the moment over all others is the angi rasa, and those rasas that nourish that angi rasa are called anga rasas, and they thus take on the role of sanchari bhavas. Right? So in other words, you have whichever one is the primary becomes there, and then everything else becomes sanchari, right? Sanchari or secondary. Does that make sense? The tastes that are going on. In other words, the vibhava is creating an emotion, right? And then that creates all these other ones. So whichever one is prominent at the time, that's what then comes up. Does that make sense? So whichever one is the central, that one becomes the main aspect. Everything else becomes sanchari because they're always moving and changing. Does it make sense? Yes.
There's a certain number of qualities which must go around
here,
or is that?
No, it could, that's what he's saying. It can be when they mingle. So it may be one is mingled, or, you know, so at least you have two. At least you have one angi and one anga. But there may be many angas, right? So that's the point, is this, that one predominant one, and then you have so many others that can go with it.
Someone
who demonstrates the pure rasa, right? That's the principle. Which is?
That's like
Vatsalya. Okay. It's always a safe rasa, right? Because it's sober enough, you take it seriously, you know, that sakya you might or might not take seriously. Does that make sense? You know. And if you always use madhurya, then people start to freak out. So therefore, do you understand?
So I mean, like mother and children.
Going the safe route. Okay.
She has a central vatsalya.
No, that's the stai bhava. Stai bhava here. Central is just what's at play right now in this moment. I mean, she's always in that rasa. That's the standard rasa. That's the basis. That's why it's what mixes with what, because it is vatsalya. So then the point is whichever becomes the central rasa, whether it's compatible with or not, that's the question. Right? So it's always there. You're always in that rasa. It's which one's being tasted right now. So which one comes up? So that's why I'm saying all these things. So whichever one, that becomes the main one. Right? And then from that you get all the physical symptoms. The Anubhava, your Santri, everything like that. All the other aspects, all the other rasas, they become sanctuary. Or just transitory elements that add to it. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. So you have your set of where everything goes, but at the same time is because there's a certain kind. Does that make sense? It means your Anubhava is what's arising from the Vibhava. Right? So there's the standard things that come. But the point is, but that's what's coming up. But then within that, there's the smaller one. So you could take it that that's actually the Anubhava and these are the Sanchuris. But there's a set of Anubhava, Sanchari Bhava like this. This is the thing about the Vedic, is that something can hold multiple positions depending upon what's happening. Western law, they try to avoid this like anything. You make a little box, everything goes in the box, you have your little arrows, you do your flow chart, and everything like this. But the whole point is rasa doesn't work like that. Right? That's why those with their flow charts haven't figured it out yet. Right? Does that make sense? That's the difficulty. Right? You know, they have all the charts and all that, but they can't hold a marriage together. Right? But they're the authority. You know what I'm saying? That academic will be considered an authority on, you know, family life when they can't hold their own family together. And the simple little farmer out there, he has a nice family. It's been going very well. He has good relations. But he's just a layman. He doesn't know what he's talking about. This is the glories of the modern academy. It has nothing to do with if you have any realization. It's simply if you have book knowledge. So those with the ability for book knowledge, they become the authority, rather than those who practically understand. So book knowledge must be respected. We're not saying they're not respectable. We're just saying it's when you go to apply it in your life, generally someone who has the knowledge and the ability to apply it, or the understanding of how to apply it, that's who you want. You know, just like an administration. It says the Brahmins involved there must know the Shastras and know management. Not that they necessarily do management, but they have to understand it. You don't have Brahmins who don't understand management as the advisors to the king. Right? Otherwise, how do you advise them how to apply a certain aspect of the philosophy into the situation? You understand? So it's not just, well, everybody has a right, everybody has a voice. But why? You know? We're going to fix the car. So, you know, let's bring a whole crowd around. Everybody can give their opinion what we should do. Well, I think we should kick the tires, you know, like that. I think it needs a bit of a paint job and all that. You know, what about if it doesn't work? Well, at least it can look nice, right? You know, so you understand what I'm saying, like that? You know, the kids will think needs a few decals, you know, like that. You understand? So what has it got to do with reality? The reality is the mechanic knows what's wrong. Now, if he takes advice from another mechanic that there's something there, but he's a little confused, and the other mechanic comes, oh, no, it's this, then it works out. But everybody's got their opinion. Who cares? You know, what's it? Who is it? Marlon Brando? He didn't care. You know what I'm saying? It just doesn't matter. But modern man, he's so insecure that any opportunity he can to try to establish himself, you know, he's got to take it. This is cheating. You know, it's like it's in Vrindavan. I saw this car. It had this decal. It's one of these ones that goes across the whole back window, you know, like that. And it said, "All I want is everything." Yeah, so that's the modern society. They want everything and they don't worry if the rasas are compatible or not. That's why there is no relationships. Right? There just aren't relationships. Because they want everything and everything doesn't work. You know what I'm saying? Mother Jashoda can't go out and, you know, serve snacks at the Rasa dance, you know. It just doesn't work. Oh, you've been dancing for so long now, please come and eat, you know, and everything like that. It's, you know, Radha Krishna bed, come in, tuck them in, and make sure everything's nice and that. You know, is it going to work? But there's the nectar there. Yeah, so what? It's not your nectar. You know what I'm saying? Isn't it? I mean, let's say you go to the cafeteria, everyone's got their plate, right, sitting around like that. And then you go, oh, wow, that looks nice. Hey, I want some of this. And then no one's supposed to say anything. You know, what are you doing? No, but why are you saying something? They want. That's all it is. That's the last line. But they want. It's going like, oh, excuse me. You know, that's like want, desire, need is the absolute. It's the supreme God, you know? That's the problem. So the point is that the rasa itself, there's something going at the moment, and there's other things that are compatible. If you try to mix the other things with it, it doesn't work. It just doesn't work.
In order to understand we need to develop a relationship with Krishna.
Yes, because that's where it is. The problem is we're not dealing in our relationship with Krishna. If you deal with that, everything else works because Krishna is everything. How are you going to have nice relationship with anybody else unless you have a nice relationship with Krishna? Right? And even if you do have, by your karma and that, you have nice relationship with, but it's temporary. You know what I'm saying? That's the whole point. And then what? Now where do you repose that? You know? So that's the point. Is this Krishna's there. Everything here is temporary. All it is these are all manifestations. The personalities are all manifestations of the universal form. Right? It means you have a particular karma. So then, you know, they go and they get that one out, put it all together, you know. Does that make sense? And then you know, you get it. You know, you go and you make your special order, and then they put this and that and all the different things together, and they give you it. So that's your karma. You know, so that's what you get. You know, it's like that, you know. Does that make sense? You know. So that's what it is. But then we say, no, this is me, and this is important. But the point is its only importance is its connection to the Lord. So it's part of the universal form. You know, that tree looks like it looks because of its karma. It means that one there is big and fat. It's got green leaves on it. That one down there doesn't have any leaves on it. Why not? That's his karma. Does that make sense? You look at it. All this tree, they're all exactly the same tree. And each one is different. It means like that, there's only a few that have that good of karma. They're all planted at the same time. Like over in this corner, they're really small trees. Like that. Just, that's the bad karma corner, right? You know, so they're all big trees, you know.
Southwest.
Yeah, so they're supposed to be the big trees, yeah. Right? But there's somehow or another, you know, yeah, we're the big guys, and everybody else is bigger, you know? So it's like, you know, like that. Does that make sense? So the whole point is that one has to be able to accommodate that the rasas are flowing like this. So the Stai Bhava is there, the Alambanas are still there, right? The Udipan is still there. And then what it'll create is still there. So the group of rasas is already there. But it's just at which moment, which is prominent. Right? Let's say it's there and you have the in the sanctuary of anger. Right? So it's just a transitory thing. So when that anger comes up, if that's the situation, Krishna said something funny. Said a joke that the gopis didn't appreciate. You know, I mean, they feign they don't appreciate it. Right? Because he's being a boy. Right? And when the boys are too boyish, the girls always get upset. Right? Does that make sense? Because the more it's masculine, the more it's feminine. You know? Does that make sense? You know, the masculine is direct, the feminine is indirect. So the more direct he becomes, the more indirect they become. It's just a natural balance. So then that anger will be, that feigned anger, it becomes the central rasa, the angi. And then everything else that goes with it, you know, averting their head or doing this and that or, you know, making sarcastic comments or, you know, whatever is the other things, those all become the sanctuaries of that. It's not the Stai Bhava. The Stai Bhava already sets the field. The Stai Bhava has the basic moods, what's the Alambanas and the Udipans and what are the different kinds of sanctuaries and Anubhavas that you can have. So that's set. So now it's within that, which one is taking the central, right? And so that means Krishna's, you know, joking words, that is the Udipan that therefore got the Anubhava of the Sanchari Bhava, means the Sanchari Bhava this displeasure as the, and becomes the Anubhava, right? Because before it said, you know, there's the Vibhava and the Anubhava. Everything else is Anubhava, right? So now in Anubhava, one of those is prominent at the time. So whether it's an Anubhava, you know, aspect of the Stai Bhava or Sanchari Bhavas, that doesn't matter, right? That becomes the Angi, the main one, and everything else falls in line with that. Does that make sense? So that's why Rasa is not so easy to understand. because you're actually dealing with personality. You're not dealing with the machine. Right? It's a science. Right? Otherwise, how is this Goswami mentioning this? He's not mentioning this from memory. He's mentioning this because he understands it. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like you have a cook. They say so many things what you can do. It's not from memory that they've memorized so many recipes. It's just they know what can go with what vegetable, what spicing. I mean, what vegetable can be used in what styles of cooking, right? And then what spices go with those styles of cooking and with that kind of vegetable. So they know how to combine all that. Does that make sense? So when they're telling you something, it's not on a recipe, right? You have people, they can go in and memorize hundreds of recipes. But we're not talking about that. So that's not what's going on here. So when we try to memorize this, it's nice. If we're giving that effect of putting it's something spiritual, you get value. But the point is it's understood. That's why it can be discussed. Yes, the dynamics, but I would even place that as the secondary. I would put the primary difficulty in understanding rasa is that rasa is kind of a foreign concept. You know what I'm saying? Foreign concept, you know, kind of a gringo-y kind of thing, you know, that kind of does that make sense? Yeah, that makes a lot of sense now. Okay, I understand. All you had to say was gringo, then it all makes sense. So the point is that people don't know, what is it? A man and his machine, or, you know, a man and his dog, you know, or, you know, the man and his career. Where's the rasa? And all you can manifest is secondary rasas. You know what I'm saying? You know, the meeting is going well, he's confident, he gets up, makes his, you know, his presentation like that. You know, there's others vying for the position, so Vera is there. You know, so it means they, but there's no friendship, there's no other thing. What's the sthayi bhava there? Sthayi bhava is, you know, dog eat dog. You know, so that's not exactly rasa. You know, maybe what was it? Vibhatsa. Okay, that, you know, that's that, no. Horror, yeah. I mean, dog eating dog's not exactly fear here, you know, or, you know, love. I love you so much, I just wanted to eat you. You know, like that, you know. When adults say that, you know, about someone else, generally means it's just very affectionate. They don't actually sit down and eat them, you know, like that, you know. But if it's, you know, baka, and he says, you know, I like you so much, I want to eat you, then be worried. Right? Like that, you know. So that was the problem in Neka Chakra, right? You know, so.
Marge, in order to understand rasa, we have to practice it. Then how do we practice, you know, this rasa?
Well, the rasa comes back as rasa is the taste. It means what we're discussing now, this is sambandha gyan. Right? Applying it, then you get the taste.
Yes.
Right? See, now we're getting the taste of knowledge. Right? That aspect. But the point is unless you understand the sambandha itself, because the point is who is, means we're talking here Mother Jashoda, but who is Mother Jashoda? Does she have a problem with Krishna's the Supreme?
No.
Does she have a problem with, you know, having a service attitude? You know, modes of nature, mortgages, you know, like that, taxes, you know. I mean, you know, you're saying corn.
Taxes they pay.
Yeah, they pay taxes, but they don't have a problem. They got tons. They like that, you know. She just gets, you know, bulimia, you know. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So there's no problem there, right? So the thing is it's they're already situated in the perfection of this sambandha gyan, right? Means the purpose of the sambandha gyan to situate one nicely in Krishna's service is already accomplished. So they've gone beyond the gyan. Right, so our studying of this is gyan, right? But it's in relationship to the rasa, right? Because in sambandha gyan, you're going to have the knowledge with the field, shankarshan, right? The knowledge of the, you know, the elements of it, what they can do, what tastes are available, you know, in Prajumna, the activities itself of Vasudev, and then the goal or the taste of the rasa is Aniruddha, right? So in other words, the mood, the purposes, the facts themselves, the subject itself, and the plan, the action. These four are sambandha gyan, but they're covering the knowledge of sambandha abhideya and prayojana. Right? When you apply it, that's abhideya. When you get that result, that's prayojana. Does that make sense? So when this is understood, then one applies. One knows that, okay, one knows these things go, and one just starts using them.
So we apply those.
But just remember, do it when you're not applying it, you know. Don't start a conversation with your wife and one minute, and look in the book and stuff like that. Like that. Yeah, otherwise then, here it is, and then you look up, she won't be there. And then kind of, you know, it's perfectly timed, though. It means the door's not going to slam unless you're aware of it, you know. So you're there and you hear a slam and the door, and it's like, no. You wake up, you look up, she'll be gone. You may not see her leave, but you'll hear the slam then. Then, you know, like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So the whole point is apply it. It means you're studying it. Then you're applying. You study, you apply. The rasa, it's the point that for us, the main thing is we know that this is where what we're trying to come to. Right? I only point it out in relationship to the worldly situations, because there's this great, very popular, greatly foolish idea that the Vedas are archaic and have no practical application. But the problem is that the only thing that's practical, and anything else is not practical. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You know, you say, no, but what about science? Yeah. You know, but what has it given us? Okay, it's given us the mobile phone. You know that previously people could go out, go to the toilet, and at least you get a few moments of peace. You know, a few moments to yourself. You know, no one else is there. No one's going to bother you. But now the phone can ring and you're going to be having a whole other conversation. You know, so how is that an improvement on life? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So what I've generally seen is that the really successful people, they turn off their phones. Right? They turn it on a certain time, turn it off. And they couldn't care less who it is, how important. They just don't deal with it. You know what I'm saying? But the people who are professing it, you know, they're not on, they can't do that. Is that what it says? So, therefore, we're connecting it just to show that the Vedic, what we're looking for is already there. So if you're chanting Hare Krishna, have that faith in the, you know, Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, right? Deal properly with the Vaishnavas, like that. Always try to see that you're doing everything to please Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. I mean, that means Guru, Krishna, and the Vaishnavas. You know, without offense, without karma, agyan. Then it's all going to work out perfectly. Because these are the things that are done by people who are doing that. So the point is what we're already given, that simple practical point, that's what's going to make all this work. Because to make all this work, you have to be humble, tolerant, respect others, and not expect anything for yourself. Right? And see everything in relationship to Krishna. You have those five, that's perfect culture. Every aspect of culture goes back to these five. Does that make sense? That's why it's... It is the perfection of Dharma and etiquette. If you don't know the whole Dharma Shastra, or don't know all the different... If you follow these four at all times, I mean these five, at all times you'll be successful. Because then you'll always be intelligent and then do the right thing. And even if you don't know what to do, if you're humble, tolerant and respectful to others, you'll get by. People won't mind it. People get upset when you got attitude, you're not patient, you're not, you know, all these different things. Does that make sense?
The element of dynamic is secondary. The primary for us is that self-centered.
I didn't quite catch. I mean, self-centered means that that's why it doesn't work?
Yeah.
Yes. Because the point is, relationship means you're focused on the other person. Because if I think of myself and they think of their self, but how what I think of myself is compatible to what they think of themselves, you know, that kind of works out together. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You know, they walk in through the door like that, you know, and in their, you know, the formal outfit, and he's just checking out, you know, thinking of himself and what everyone's thinking of his suit. She's just thinking of herself. You know, as long as, you know, kind of, it's okay. But is it a relationship? No, it's just a convenience. Because the other person's just a
tool.
You know, a moving, talking accessory. You know, like chihuahuas in your bag. You know, you got it that. Like that. The problem is that chihuahuas produce more accessories in your bag. Yeah, it's a weird one, but whatever. You know what I'm saying? So they're just accessories. That makes sense. Yeah. Okay. In this regard, the Vishnu Dharmotra states, when several rasas become simultaneously active, the most outstanding is considered a sthayi rasa, while the others are designated as sanchari bhavas. Right? This is Vishnu Dharmotra. Interesting to note. It means it's one of the main Upa Puranas. Well, you have the primary 18 main Puranas, then you have the secondary Purana. So Vishnu Dharmotra is one of the main. I think Ramanuja uses this very much. So they don't have a problem with rasa. Right? Because they're talking about that oneness, you know, special oneness. Right? So here it is that becomes the sty. So it's acting in the main, because the sty sets the mood. Right? Based on that mood, then therefore there are certain things that will cause it to, you know, nourish it. And having been nourished, then there's going to be reactions. So whatever the reactions are, whichever is the main one, everything else becomes secondary to that. Does that make sense? So you're always having this element of the dynamic of what's primary and secondary. So whichever one becomes primary, it sets the whole mood for the whole scene. Everything else is secondary to that. Then it's being its effect, then that one becomes the primary that the others are serving. Right? But this primary is still as anga of the angi. You know what I'm saying? So that's why you have. Radharani is there, so she has so many associates. But each of those associates has associates. You know what I'm saying? It's not just Radharani and she manages everybody. She simply is interacting with the main people. The main people then have their main people. They have their main, like this, it just goes on down the line. Right? Rajanath, Gurudev, how does a Gauna Rasa obtain the position of an Angi Rasa? Goswami, Srila Rupa Goswami, in the northern division, 8th wave, verses 46 to 50 of the Bhakti Rasa Amrita Sindhu states, now that's memory. Sometimes Mukhya Rasa, the protagonist primary mellow, prefers a sankocha, withdrawn mood, and nourishes the Gona Rasa, subordinate mellow, and simultaneously Vibhava, the impetus of love, becomes strongly manifest. So it's just for taste. Even what's prominent becomes secondary. You know what I'm saying? You know, the guy's always there, you know, rides his car, he's got so many different kinds of cars, he's got his motorcycles, but now and again he just likes to walk. You understand? Or, you know, the guy's a super excellent cook, you know, fabulous cook, but every now and again he makes some instant noodles. You understand? It's just kind of for that variety. Just to give it, you know, to take that withdrawn position. Of course, his two-minute noodles are going to be millions times better than anybody else's, but they're still two-minute noodles. Right? Does that make sense? Just they do stuff like that. Okay. Then Gona Rasa wears the crown of an Angi Rasa. Meanwhile, because Vibhava becomes the strongly manifest. So in other words, Vibhava is all the different elements from all the different aspects of rasa that are the ones that are the impetus. Right? Does that make sense? So when that, though it may be technically a sanchari or an anubhav, some other aspect, but it becomes prominent. Because then the primary rasa actually takes a back seat. Meanwhile, mukya rasa slips into the role of an anga rasa and cloaks her own magnificence. Just as Vamana supported Indra. Similarly, mukya rasa, acting as an anga, nurtures gona rasa, now turned angi. Right? Because Vamanadeva is the supreme lord, and here he's the doorkeeper for his servant, who he has defeated. Right? But it's just, it's fun. You know, it gets the variety of tastes, you know, so that's... Yet mukya rasa always shines resplendently in the heart of the devotee saturated with bhakti, which is scented with the sublime fragrance of endless transcendental desire to serve the Lord. Right? This is what we were meaning before, the Alankara Shastras.
Yeah.
You know, she takes the back seat, cloaked in, you know, her magnificence, you know, how you say, like that, you know, bhakti, which is scented with the fragrance, like this. So that's what Alankara Shastra describes. So you see, it's perfect. Naturally, you have to describe rasa to know which ones to use. Okay, does that make sense? In other words, that particular rasa, there's particular perfect words or ways to present them that will be the best vehicle for it. Right? But the main point is the rasa itself. Does that make sense? So that's why if somebody has the proper mood and training, then it's really wonderful. Right? Because the mood's right and they know how to express it right, that's perfect. But if the mood's right, even if they don't know and they say something and it comes out a bit clumsy, still it works because the mood's right. But if somebody knows all the lines but has the wrong mood, what's the use? Does that make sense? You know, it's like, you know, someone brings out this fabulous looking food and everything like that, and then but you go and there's no taste. So what's the value? Right, but even if something doesn't look so great, but it has taste, it works. That makes sense. You know, therefore, the guy down in the, you know, the corner, little cart, has a big line there. There's taste. It doesn't necessarily look good, but it's got good taste. You know, everybody else wants this. You know, so. Does that make sense? Yeah. No. Yeah. Y'all know the guy, right? Yeah. Okay. Yet mukya rasa always shines resplendently in the heart of the devotee saturated with bhakti, which is scented with the sublime fragrance of endless transcendental desire to serve the Lord, unlike the gona sanchari rasas, which appear on occasion and then eventually merge away into the mukya rasas as they become wanton vyabhichari bhavas. Right? So then the drive, so even if you don't see, so here's a very proper definition. So even if you see that a sanchari or a secondary rasa is taking the position of the primary position, the central rasa, the angi. And the main rasa, the mukya rasa, is taking that of the anga, just a branch of that. But the drive for doing that is still the main rasa, the stai bhava. You understand? So even if some other aspect is coming up in one of the devotees, but the drive, right, Does that make sense? Like another flavor comes up. Like Hasya is there and everyone's just laughing and joking and all. It takes primary. And so all the other aspects of the rasa aren't there. But the point is its drive is that primary rasa. Why you'd be using that? Because that's compatible with the primary rasa. But that's the prominent element. So it becomes the central. So everyone's sitting around telling jokes. So then hasya, which is the secondary rasa, then it becomes the angi. Right? But what's driving it? So the cowherd boy is sitting around and joking, then that's sakya. Right? Mother Yashoda and them are joking. It's vatsalya. Right? It means that the gopis, you understand? So it's the one that's always driving. That's why it's sty. It's always fixed. It may not be the one you see, because it mentions that the mukhya rasa is there cloaked, so you don't see its glory. But it doesn't mean it's not always there. That's why it's sty. It's always there. Does this make some sense? Okay. Yeah. Wanton in this case would be what? Meaning like?
Changeable.
Changeable, kind of like, how you say it? Unsteady. Wanton.
Licentious.
Licentious. That's the prominent usage now. But previously it had much more, it had more flavors like that. But that's generally how it's used now. But, huh?
Meanings.
Huh?
It has a lot of meanings.
It has like 6 or 8 meanings, but only that licentiousness is the one commonly used now. But before it simply, it could mean that it's something that is temporary or it's not unstable, unsteady, irresponsible. All these different kinds of things. So I would think it'd be more that kind of element. But it of course is going to add to the flavor. But it would be the irregularity or the simple, you know, that whimsical drive of licentiousness that I think would be the aspect of one thing, right? I would think so.
It's also the Chinese moves.
Yeah.
I think that has, isn't that two O's?
Yeah.
That'd be wonton. Yeah, wonton. Wonton. Yeah. Yeah, it turns into all kinds of other things. You know? Polish dumpling soup. Yeah, it becomes everything. With that. And then the question is are they only boiled? After boiling, do you fry them? With that. Some people, they put them in the soup and then they fry them on the side. Right? That works good. I guess that's becoming wanton. I think it also, also it's like he wantonly spends money.
Yeah.
It's just.
Or he has a wanton disregard for life.
Yes, yeah.
Yes. Okay. He's crushed by a wonton weight.
A wonton weight, yeah. So does that mean a one ton?
Maybe you want on the TV.
One ton. Yeah, could be. Okay. Thus, mukhya rasa ultimately remains firm and preponderant. Certainly, mukhya angi rasa allows itself to be garnished by swajatiya angas, right? So swajatiya means compatible. Similar, swati, jati means group. So swajati means from the same group. So that's what we mentioned before. When he said what's compatible, those are the swajati. Yes. Preponderant. I would think what? Like your predominant kind of?
Yeah, like a predominance.
Yeah. It would have a predominance. So it'll always, in other words, it's in the back. Like sometimes you don't see Radharani's there in the pastime, but you don't see her. She's sitting on the side. And Lalita's in the front. And she's arguing with Krishna. But she can hear what Radharani says, but Krishna can't. Right? Because she's positioned herself between Radharani and Krishna. Radharani thinks Radharani's there. Krishna thinks Radharani's, but he can't see her. So Radharani will make some comment, and Lalita will be out there fighting and this and that. And Krishna's kind of doubting because how it's moving, it's not the way Lalita moves. It's moving the way Radharani moves. I mean, it's the conversation or the mood. So then he has a doubt Radharani's here. Right? But, you know, Lalita's saying she's not. So, but same time as then, why is it moving in this particular... He says something, why does this response come? Do you understand? Like that. That works? Yeah. Okay, certainly Mukhi Angi Rasa allows herself to be garnished by Swajatiya Angas, compatible mellows, and Vijatiya Angas, incompatible mellows, to form a conglomerate of bhavas, transcendental emotions. However, ultimately she, Mukhi Angi Rasa, asserts her independence and predominance, right? After changing all this and that, then they'll come out predominantly. Because otherwise, how do you appreciate? You know, what's the use of a dynamic entrance if you were already standing there? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. One who is attracted to a particular... Because she's actually independent. She takes the position of being dependent, but actually she's not. It's always independent. Right? Because all the others are sanctuaries for the... Mukhya Rasa. Right? One who is attracted to a particular Mukhya Rasa becomes eternally imbued and ensconced in her, which is thus manifest as the Angi Rasa. All other rasas, even the other Mukhya Rasas, are relegated to the position of Anga in relation to one's essential Mukhya Anga Ras. Right? Because all the other aspects of that are contained. That is what we were discussing before. Is as you add, we have Shanta, so that's the Mukhya Ras. Right? But as that deepens and you add in the desire to serve, then servitorship becomes the Mukhya Ras, and then Shanta becomes an Anga. Right? When that deepens further, then it becomes friendship. And then servitorship and Shanta become Angas. Does that make sense? Right? And the seven rasas are always Angas. Right? So this might also bring out the element that it's not contradictory when he's saying that sometimes the secondary rasa makes itself prominent, becomes the sty. That's only because the sty allows that to happen. Does that make sense? Like that. Otherwise, it's seemingly, you know, someone could be in that. But we see it's a predominance, so therefore it's as if, but still. Another relevant point is that only when their Anga Rasas flow harmoniously with the Angi Rasa, thus enhancing the relish of rasa, one can actually speak of Anga Rasas. Otherwise, discussion of an unproductive alliance of Anga Rasas with the Angi Rasa is contradictory and meaningless. Okay, therefore, this is the northern division. Yeah, because we would have started with east, right?
Yeah.
So this is the fourth part. So this is going to discuss Rasa Bas. So that's how you position what Rasa Bas is. Right? It means is that they're not working harmoniously. So even if you have a Rasa, that what was before it mentioned... mentioned that the elements of Swajatiya and Vijatiya. But the Vijatiya means the ones that are opposed are still working harmoniously. Right? Does that make sense? But when they don't work harmoniously, that becomes, it says that it's contradictory and meaningless, because then it doesn't have any meaning. So then Rupa Goswami gives examples of Rasa Bas, things that just don't match together. Vrajana. What happens when contrary rasas flow together? Goswami. Then a tasteless, unpleasant rasa is created. Similar to a concoction of deliciously sweet nectar with salty and acid liquids. Right? You have your sweet rice, put a squeeze of lemon, you know, touch of Tabasco, you know, go for it. Right? You know. Such a distasteful mixture is called rasa bas. Incompatible, conflicting mellows. Yes.
I was just wondering, what is it that makes these actors with the massive salaries, what is it that makes them so good, according to this?
What makes them so good is that they're able to take the mood and the physical action with confidence, you know, and whatever is needed. You know what I'm saying? So that's there. Of course, we only see the finished product. You know, that's we see 2 hours, but that's, you know, can be at least 30 hours of, you know, and that's what was actually filmed. Then there's all the things that they're in their little trailer and they're supposed to be out here, and why are they in the trailer and not out here? So the person with the little clipboard and the little thing on their ear has to go running around. Yeah, that's.
The ones who are very bad, then what makes them very bad?
Lack of confidence, lack of, what do you call it? They're unable to project the rasa. It means that you can feel it. It means it's completely there. That the energy, the intensity is full, and it balances. You know, what mood they're taking is what physical elements you see. You know what I'm saying? And so a certain person can move in a certain circle. So that's why they get generally typecast. So it's very rare you find one that can work in all different areas, but there's only a handful of those. Everybody else is always works in the same group. Does that make sense?
Because people are very fearful, that becomes very attractive, the confidence they're displaying.
That's anything is confidence. Why is the advertisement? You know, so the person look like, you know, they don't know what they're doing, right? They're confident. So that's why, you know, because the point is it's about the confidence. It's just like this. Why do you like a stained glass window?
Stained glass window?
You don't know what a stained glass window is? Have you ever been, just for, it means, you know, we don't want to step on any sentiments here, but have you ever been in like a church that has these windows that have glass cut in various shapes that, you know, that have some kind of scene in that? And so what's nice about a stained glass window?
I don't find them particularly nice, but colors.
Colors, okay. But the point is if there's no light behind them, do you see the colors?
No.
So light. Actually it's the light. Mm. All it is that the stained glass window can display a wider variety of the intricacies of light. That's why you appreciate it, because if there's no light, it doesn't mean anything. Right? Does that make sense? So as long as, you know, you look at the board and there's somebody there, you know, wearing that particular, you know, whatever it is, item, or, you know, whatever, like that, and you can't look around, and if you do look around, and somebody is wearing it, they're wearing it with a similar confidence, then it's in fashion, right? You want to go buy it. But if you look on the board, and it's there, and you look on the street, and everybody's wearing it, and they also aren't very confident, there's no interest. It goes out of fashion. You understand? So all it's about is the confidence. You know what I'm saying? As far as beauty goes, there's millions of people that are as beautiful, if not more beautiful, than the model. They're not that good. I mean, they don't eat. How beautiful can you be? Do you know what I'm saying? They got bones sticking out everywhere. It's like, you know, since when are bones, you know, beautiful? You know what I'm saying? But they got the confidence. You know what I'm saying? That's what's important. But people think it's the clothes. You know what I'm saying? Because you go down the street, there's a mannequin in the window. It's wearing the same thing. Does that make sense? But the point is you're standing in front of that shop because of the advertisement.
Do the bones show self-control?
Do the bones show self-control? Probably more self-centeredness. Because if I am this body, and I'm so convinced, and my whole identity is that I, you know, wear a double zero, then like that. So then,
extra zero.
Extra zero. Yeah. So then one lives off of air. You know, like orchids, right? You know, orchids could fit into any dress. Right? Because they only live off of air, so they have no problem.
Yeah, and those who buy, they're addicted to their senses, so it becomes very attractive.
Want to be beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, so the point is then the idea is because they're wearing that, that's why they're so confident. And so if you buy this, then you're confident. And as long as no one else has it and they think it's valuable, then you do can get some confidence. But when that's so yesterday, you know, then it kind of loses something. That makes sense? Interesting what side points we can get off onto from the rise. Okay, so it means we've dealt with we've dealt with theater, and we've dealt with advertisement or fashion and anything else we missed here. Huh? Coming up. Okay, Srila Rupa Goswami gives an answer. Oh, such a distasteful mixture is called rasabhas, incompatible conflicting mellows. Vrajanath, is this mixture of rasabhas not relishable under any circumstance? Goswami, Srila Rupa Goswami gives an answer in the Northern Division, 8th Ved, verses 63 to 64. And this one was 46 to 50. Okay, so then he would have described then. In his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the mixing of two contrary rasas does not produce virasata, a conflict in taste, in the following situations, right? In other words, he's saying that when they're conflicting rasas, they'll give a bad taste, right? That's rasabhas. But in these situations, the conflicting rasas won't. When one logically describes the preeminence of one contrary rasa of the two that have mingled, and thereby reveals the inferiority of the other rasa, or when one describes an incompatible rasa in recollection, or when one dispassionately describes a particular similarity between the incompatible rasas, or when a tatastha rasa, neutral mellow, or preya rasa, friendly mellow, intervenes between the incompatible rasas, or when there is a divisive conflict between the vishaya, the object of love, and the ashraya, resting place of love, at the time of mixing of the incompatible gona rasa and mukhi rasa. In other words, if the situation is such that you're talking about something that's incompatible, it's not incompatible to talk about something incompatible. So even though the incompatibility is not part of your rasa, if you're talking about it without the involvement of the emotion, right? Then it's not a problem. Or if it's between one thing and another, and that it'll become a bridge. You know what I'm saying? So here it's dynamic, then it becomes neutral, then it becomes dynamic again. So in other words, if it's in a neutral state, right, then it's right, because what it means you know, like in grammar, you have the transitive. It's just existing. It's not doing anything. Like Krishna is swimming. Okay, so what's being done? Nothing's being done. So it doesn't bring up anything. But Krishna is swimming in the Jamuna, you know, to fight with Kaliya serpent. Now it becomes, how you say, transitive. right? Before I said transitive? No, it's intransitive before. It's not doing anything. Now it's doing something. Now it will cause that fear or horror or other things. Does that make sense? Okay. But here's when you logic describes one the preeminence of one over the other, so even if they're there, but you're showing which one's prominent, then it balances out.
Mother, you showed us she swooned whenever she saw Krishna was fighting with Kali, and then she swooned because it's part of that salya.
Yeah, because then that's in that will be the what do you call it? That'll be the Satvika Bhava. Right? So it's just the Anubhava becomes so intense that it creates a swooning. Another interesting feature is when a single devotee manifests dasya and vatsalya at different times, as in devotees such as Maharaj Yudhishthira. Thus, two mutually incompatible rasas generally never manifest together at the same time. Right? So it's not that they're all three at once, it's one or the other, just like Devaki and Vasudev. They're offering prayers and reverence. And then when he takes the form of a baby, then they're acting as parents. It's not that they're doing both at once. Right? So therefore, the rasas that are incompatible, someone may have them, but they're not doing them both at the same time. Right? But, you know, generally that will be, as long as they're not at the same time, then you can work with, it works. Like, you may know somebody who has a wide variety of manifestations of rasa that aren't compatible, but as long as they're not manifest at the same time, it works. So they're much more of a unique person to have to deal with. Right? However, in the stage of Adhirudha Mahabhava, the highest state of spiritual love, even if there is an arising confluence of all the opposing rasas, still rasa bhasa is not generated. Because you're getting to this Anirudha Mahabhava. Is that because it's Radharani. Right? Others are tasting because they're being imbued with her potency. She's tasting that. That's when the cowherd boys also, if they're there, happen to be there in certain situations, they may taste it. But it's her mood, right? So she is the Surup Shakti. So that means all of the moods are in her. Yes. Just like Krishna is the Swayam Bhagavan, she is the Surup Shakti. So because of that love, she loves Krishna, and Krishna... So it may expand to that point that all these contradictory things are happening at once. But it's not Rasa Bhas. Because she is all those things. And the intensity, the love, and how they'll be there, because they'll all be there at once, but it's not that one's prominent. They're just like shimmering. So you have all these amazing things like that. Like she becomes jealous. In her jealous anger, but on the stage of Mahabhava, even the trees manifest jealousy. The trees, the animals, everything, the birds, everything becomes jealous. Because she is the whole energy. So anything manifest is her. So when she takes on that mood to such an extreme, everything takes on that mood. So it's not incompatible, right? The tree is jealous, right? It's not incompatible.
So when you got the green color, green with envy, isn't it?
Oh, okay, yeah, it's there. Envy, it's jealousy. Green with jealousy. Okay. Okay, so then we'll continue this one on Thursday. Let's see if we got. What do we do today? One, two. Yeah, one.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki.
Jai.
Jai Nitai Gaur.